Intervju Radija Študent.
Torej, pozdravljeni v intervjuju Radija Študent, v katerem tokrat gostimo Bjorna Kristjansena oziroma Bjorna Svina, ki danes večer skupaj z domačimi elektronskimi silami Ichi-san and Nakova ter Qualia's Dead and Janusz nastopil v Metelkovskem Channel Zero. So, hello Bjorn, you've played in Ljubljana before, couple of times. Was it Metelkova or some other location? Do you maybe remember the venue?
No, I think I never played at Metelkova, but I've been there once.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a place called K4.
K4?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I can't remember the other place, mm-hmm. but I think I played here two or three times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That many. But the last one was about 6 years ago or so.
Yeah, I think 5 or 6 years ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the last time the people who attended your show were really excited about it. They thought it was really, it had that punk rock energy to electronic music or punk rock approach, you know, especially how you behaved on the stage or so. So, you know, did you maybe calm down now that you became a father, just so people who may attend will know what shoes to put on?
In 2005, especially in that specific period, I had a quite punk rock thing with the electronic music going. I've been a little off that, basically because I changed equipment, I would say, mm-hmm. but also, of course, because becoming a family. Yeah, it changes the whole energy totally. But before I became a father, I was really into a period where I ate hardly only raw food and hardly any sugar and anything.
And that affected the music?
Yeah, it really. In the beginning, the music went totally crazy. And then it became more. Like I wanted to use all these clean sounds, so I used a lot of samples from kind of more bell sounds, and mm-hmm. the music became a lot like kind of underwater music for, could you say, that could work for a massage or something. But kind of this new health wave that has been going for perhaps 20 years in the Western world, mm-hmm. I adapted to. But there's actually one track on the album, Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That is from that period. It's a track, the techno track, Homo.
It's the one I picked if we had time to play it in
okay,
between, because maybe I thought it would resemble your live act the most of the ones from the album, but maybe I was wrong.
Yeah, it's it could be. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because the album I made the album we're listening to that mm-hmm. was released in March or something. The live act I do now and the music I do now is quite different, and could I say more hard and
mm-hmm. so more like the set you played the last time you were here.
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's also because I'm playing a lot live in this month,
mm-hmm.
and that normally affects my music a lot when I play a lot live, because playing live is for me very different than being in the studio and working.
Mm-hmm. Maybe and we will talk about this part a bit later. When you say now I lost my what I wanted to ask you. You were talking just before I interrupted you about the maybe we'll just come back to your live performance a little later and just so that we can put you in a certain basket for the start of the interview. Now, you've been living and working in Berlin, is that so? Or are you back in Denmark?
I live in Berlin.
Mm-hmm. For how long now?
For 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, within the last 10 years, I've been kind of moving back and forth between Berlin and Copenhagen, and also Barcelona I was in for a while, but
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I really like to live in Berlin. I like the pace mm-hmm. of Berlin, the mood and the general, could you say, yeah, Berlin is a very open-minded city. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. That's mm-hmm. a lot of tree.
So it was probably music that brought you to Berlin, or
it was music that brought me to Berlin, but mm-hmm. it was the vibe of the city that made me stay and come back.
Mm-hmm. Because my question was, it's the reason why I asked for Berlin, because maybe a couple of weeks ago, Ben Klock played here, also in K4.
Yeah.
You probably know him.
No.
Nope. He was a resident DJ in Bergen, in Berlin
as
well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and he played in K4, the place you mentioned before.
Yeah.
And there seems to be this quite different scene in K4 and Metelkova.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, how related do you feel to these more mainstream DJs or producers like Ben Klock, who was resident in Bergen?
Yeah, as I said, I don't know him specifically.
Mm-hmm. He's one of the renowned new techno producers.
Yeah, the thing is with me, I'm hopelessly behind. I'm not at all listening to music except from something that people say, hey, Björn, you just have to listen to this. And mm-hmm. then I listen to it. And then I follow some artists I became fan of in the 90s and that are still doing music.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly music for me is a thing that I do, that I create.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm not in the studio, I don't listen so much to music.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go out, I like to go to Berg. I was at Berghain, I think it was 2 months ago, and I like that place a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't go so much out because when I live off playing concerts and things, and when I'm not out playing a concert, then I might do something else.
Right.
So I don't. I mean, the new minimal techno that
mm-hmm.
I don't know so many names, but I feel the vibe of it when I'm around somewhere, and it's a lot in Berlin. And for me, this kind of music is not so interesting, I must say. But I think also techno changed a lot around.
Millennium.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Around 2000, and a lot of the interesting vibrations that I felt that techno had, especially in the mid 90s. Went for me to a more in this kind of electronic direction.
Mm-hmm. So you know, it seems kind of helpful when it comes to electronica to be able to put artists into context of certain scenes. You know, there was I'm not familiar with the scene, if you're part of any scene at all. But the influence in music is probably mostly comes from the 90s, from techno music to British electronica, early electronica from the beginning of the 90s. So would I be right in saying this? Or
yeah, it's my inspiration sources is musically techno from 90s, like Christian Vogel and Neil Landstrom and mm-hmm. artists like some odd artists too, like Tim and yeah, of course, all the electronica techno artists that started to really become big at that time, like Aphex Twin and also Ortegra, kind of inspired me a lot. But then also ambient music like Brian Eno is still really capturing me, and what I get out of
with his older music,
his older ambient music, like music for airports and and ambient. I'm not so good at the album titles, but some of the ambient music that he did, when I listen to it now, I still get the. It really sets a mood in a way that really inspires me, and that's what I kind of wanted to do a techno version of on the new album. In a way, so it's, I mean, it's some songs that might have a, could you say, complicated thing in it, but it's also really important for me that there's a certain mood in every song that you can go into, and that's what I really like about some of the Brian Eno stuff, that it has really, yeah, sets a mood.
So you mentioned your new album Brovan. This was quite, you know, for people who are familiar with your music, this was quite a change in your aesthetics from more techno rave oriented stuff of your early work to this more ambient but still in a way complex stuff, as you say. So what triggered this change?
I haven't released an album for a long time, so the whole, for me it was not such a big change. It was just an evolution over time, and I mean, I think it was 9 years since I did the last Björn Svin album. So then there has been slowly change within 9 years, and then it could consider to be a very big change for people that didn't follow that change. But for me, it was, I haven't thought so much about it. And I would say, I mean, there was a quite important change, and that was when I changed machines in 2005, I think. There it all changed, because then I lost all the music I was working on in a hard disk crash, and then I just had to start all over, and then I got into a more complex, mellow, clean sounding thing when I did music.
You mentioned Ortegra earlier, so they just released a new album and they sort of made a similar change to this more ambient sounding stuff. Did you maybe hear the last album?
Yeah, I've heard it. I really like their new album.
Yeah, me too.
I like almost all the stuff they do, but especially the last three albums they made, I really like.
You know, when they put out this album, a lot of people said it was a sort of step back, because they were used to Ortegra giving them really complex beats and stuff like that. But it seems that with this album they captured this beauty that electronic music had back in the 90s. So, you know, as you said earlier, as techno changed a bit in direction in the 2000s, the most electronic music seems to be going in a bit that more minimal direction, or the direction that lost its touch with the 90s. Would you agree? Or
could say so. I mean, for me, 90s is like. It's a positive belief in change through electronic equipment, and that energy was in the 90s with the music, like, hey, we can do this, we can change the music, and that's not so much there anymore. Now it's more about some other things, but I think artists like Ortegra, for example, still make music that kind of makes a change.
Mm-hmm.
I must say, on the last two albums they did, there was some really specific moments for me where it like totally sets a mood of something I've been through in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So
I totally agree.
You could say it's a, they did a step back somehow, but for me not in
that
way.
There's interesting stuff in that step back.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, how concerned are you with this perception of electronic music fans that electronic music has always needs to offer something new?
I think electronic music and for me, there's not a gap between electronic music and other mm-hmm. things in a way. I would say art in general. I mean, art for me, if it should really, it could be music, it could be other things, has to have a kind of intensity, personal intensity, and if it has this, then it, or not even personal, but just an intensity that really captures me, and of course doing something new, if you deliver it in a way that is that is really clear, then when you do something new, that has the new intensity thing, mm-hmm. and that can be really great. But especially in music, I would say, and that's both electronic music and other kinds of music, you don't have to do something new, because music is a so great source for expressing soulful and personal things, and that's the kind of, could you say, it's natural things that has been here for many, many years, and
mm-hmm.
and this doesn't have to be new to mm-hmm. be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It can be totally old-fashioned and still interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You said that this perception came through all the equipment that came in the 90s, and you, in the beginning you said that you changed your equipment as well since the 2005.
Yeah.
How did you change? Do you still use analog equipment probably, or?
No, I mostly use digital equipment, but that works with the principles of the analog things. So I work mm-hmm. with digital machines that use perhaps the principles from the 909 drum machine and yeah, mm-hmm. analog synthesizers and
mm-hmm.
and analog sequences and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the sound is different now, definitely, and I would say my sound has become more digital, but the way to compose is still the same as it was for me in the 90s, mm-hmm. I would say. But in the 90s, when I did the music there, I used analog gear, but there was also a lot of digital I was always using MIDI sequencing in a way and mm-hmm. things like that.
Maybe if we talk a bit more about the gig, I think it was last Friday I saw Fatboy Slim play a DJ set not far from here.
How was that?
This is I didn't really like it. It was mostly just fun, which is great because it's an important part of any gig, but
yeah.
It was sort of pointless to me. I mean, he just picked hit songs and played and people went crazy, and it all seems more like a drunk orgy than, you know, a real concert. And I like what he did in the turn of the century, of the millennium and stuff. Yeah, and maybe a week before him I saw Mira Kalix.
Yeah.
You know, she's also from Warp.
Yeah,
And she did this electroacoustic thing, which was quite cliche, and I also found it a bit pointless. Do you think you have a career which lasts around 15 years now? Do you think that it is harder to impress the audience nowadays than it used to be?
No, not really. I mean, I think I changed and the audience changed. But I don't really know. if it's harder to impress them.
You
now.
Still get the same feedback nowadays as you got when you first started.
Yeah, sometimes, but then, I mean, I remember also at that time there were sometimes that I didn't agree with the audience, and now still there's also times when I want to do something and the audience wants something else, and then it's not so great.
So
and
you go with the audience or you just do your own thing, or does it depend on the situation?
It's a little bit in between, I would say, because if it's I really feel the audience, and if the audience is uninterested or has a lack of intention and even is going like, hey, play something else and stuff, it really affects me,
right?
I would say, but it's not. I'm not so good at following, I must say. Music for me comes really out of my own ideas and comes from inside in a way. And I don't DJ anymore. I just can't throw a new song in another direction,
right,
or something like that. So it is more like I prepare a certain direction before I go, and then when I come and I play the show, I hope that I planned the right direction.
Right.
But I improvise a lot when I play, so I can always I can change it, but I cannot just, you know, if people want me to play the new track with Surgeon or something, it's not coming.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
So fun is obviously a really important part of a concert or a gig, but should a concert provide something else apart from fun, in your opinion?
A concert can be fun. I mean, it's one kind of intensity.
You know,
intensity.
To be or not fun.
Entertainment,
yeah.
It depends on what you mean with the word entertainment, I would say, because
it can be entertained in many ways.
Exactly, because sometimes I can get really, really angry at the audience and just kind of shout, "Oh, fuck! You just want entertainment."
Right.
And then it's a really bad thing. But actually, entertainment is a good thing.
It's
if it's a certain kind of entertainment. I'm very well entertained if I listen to music that I really like. But if entertainment requires that the audience shall get exactly what they expect and are not ready to get anything else, then it's boring.
But this is exactly what happened at the Fatboy Slim gig.
Okay, yeah.
You just gave them what they want and
they
accepted it, and that was it. They had lots of fun, he had lots of fun, but you know, there was nothing else in it for me.
I've just been touring a lot in Denmark, and in Denmark I've been, especially in the 90s, I got known for some music there, and when I went to all these places and I played, then I started and I improvise a lot and I jam and I do things, I create music on stage, and when I do that, then after, perhaps if I have done that for 2-3 minutes, then people start to shout for the old songs,
right?
And this kind of thing just, I mean, I just don't understand. When I go listen to a concert, I want to hear, I want to be taken away.
Right.
I want to go on a trip, in a way. I want to, like, if it's the same if you watch a movie and you want to be able to, you know, if the girl goes with the wrong guy and then you go like, "Hey, man, hey, no, I don't want it like that. Hey, stop that movie." I, right. or, or It's just it's a wrong.
It doesn't make much sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. Mm. When you go and listen to something, then you should take what comes. Mm-hmm. In a way.
So unfortunately, we ran out of time.
Okay,
so
sorry. Yeah, I'm just talking.
Yeah, no, it was nice talking to you, but we'll see you play live in at Metelkova tonight.
I hope so.
So thank you for the interview. To je bil torej intervju z Bjornom Kristensenom oziroma Bjornom Svinom, ki ga danes večer lahko skupaj še s podporo domačih producentov slište v Metelkovskem Channel Zero. Intervju sem pripravil Goran.
Intervju Radija Študent.